The federal government says about 1.6 million homes in New York and New Jersey are still without power. The temperatures are dropping. Another storm, a nor'easter, a big winter storm, is expected later in the week. In New York, estimates are that between 20 and 40,000 people are in need of temporary housing. As we heard earlier, New Jersey has plenty of people sheltering. And parents have another concern. As our listener Sabine tweeted us last week, are there resources to help us talk to kids about Hurricane Sandy? Well, we heard from many of you. Angela Wang tweeted us that her bedtime reading with her children now includes Laura Ingalls Wilder's The Long Winter. It's based on the winter of 1880-81 when Wilder's family weathered 7 months of blizzards. Karen Bedsworth sent us a link to the Red Cross Children's section. Rachel Altman suggested advice from Teaching Strategies. Now, this is a children's curriculum publisher. They misspelled hurricane in the link, but we're sure they were in a hurry. Their advice is good. We've posted all of these suggestions, including a link to Sesame Street characters discussing hurricane preparedness at hereandnow.org. Meanwhile, our friends at WNYC on the Brian Lehrer Show in New York had a call-in segment featuring a psychologist from Sesame Street and Elmo, who took calls and gave this advice.
If Elmo's friends out there, if they don't have electricity, it will be on very, very soon. And be careful out there.
Dr. Melissa Breimer is Program Director of Terrorism and Disaster Programs at the UCLA Neuropsychiatric Institute. She's also a member of the National Child Traumatic Stress Network. Dr. Breimer, on the NYC website, one listener complained about time spent with Elmo. Another wrote, how about you come and explain to my three-year-old why he can't go home and his pets are gone? In other words, she really appreciated it. Where do you weigh in? Are we making too much of this? Are kids aware of what's going on?
We know that kids are very much aware about what's going on, and they have fears, and they have concerns. And so we need to be able to address those worries, answering the children's questions or giving them comfort during this time. We know that only a small percentage will be traumatized by this, but we do know that these kids are worried. Why aren't the lights on? Why can't I go out and play? And those questions we need to answer for our kids.
Yeah, Elmo did take a call from a four-year-old who wanted to know if she was going to be able to go back to preschool. You know, so that their world is kind of turned upside down. And I'm thinking not just the kids whose worlds literally were turned upside down, but what's the impact on kids watching this on television?
Well, it's not just television anymore. It's going online. Even school-age kids have phones now, and they have access to social media. And so it's important for us to know that they may have access to different types of information. And we know that that can increase kids' worries. Remind them it's okay to turn on other TV programs or turn it off, because the ongoing media viewing isn't helpful at this time for them.
No, pictures are devastating. Well, and what do parents say to them? Is it just a matter of saying, are you okay? Or do you try to explain weather? Or what, you know, and I guess it's age appropriate as well.
Absolutely. For younger kids, it's going to be very simple. Yes, there was a hurricane. We're safe right now. As Elmo said, the lights will go on, or we may have to live here in this new place for a time being, and what's going to be happening with our family for the long run. For adolescents, many adolescents are wanting to help right now, and they have a better appreciation about what happened, and making sure that we go in more details for their concerns and how they can help right now. There's a lot of different volunteer opportunities, whether it's through the schools or through the shelters that they could participate in.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, we've seen different websites, Red Cross comes to mind, advising adults how to respond to the trauma of this kind of a disaster, you know, telling them to make sure you tell your story, make sure you say to people what you saw and heard, maybe write it down, make sure you get outside of yourself, go out and volunteer. It sounds like for older kids, it's the same.
Absolutely. One of the things that we put out on our website were, remember the basics. If you don't have power, you can still play. And kids are going to want to play during these times. So what are those simple activities that we used to do either with no supplies or without power? And so we came up with activities both in the evening if you're in the dark, when it might be a little bit more scary for younger kids, or even during the day, but it's not safe to be able to go outside and play right now.
What are some of the suggestions?
You can play duck, duck, goose. We can play tag. If you have playing cards, which some families said that they did have access to, there's lots of card games to play.
And while we have you, there was another child in the news recently. This is Abigail Evans, the four-year-old who her mom shot a YouTube video when she burst into tears after listening to yet another NPR report on the election. And weeping, she said, "I'm just so tired of hearing about Barack Obama and Mitt Romney." You know, it was kind of, a lot of people thought it was funny. It broke my heart. Have you noticed, are we doing something more to our kids this election cycle than in the past? Is there something we should think about with the partisanship and the divide and the polarization in the country?
Well, I think there's more access. One, kids are hearing all the debates. They are being exposed to all the ads more so than they ever have before. Kids hear our adult conversations. And so how do we bring them then into these conversations of what are all these debates about and why is there these controversies between two parties?
Why is everybody so angry?
Exactly. They're hearing the tensions. They're hearing those questions. Now it's important for us to have them part of the conversation so that when they get to that point, they can be informed voters.
Well, would you say, though, on the other hand, maybe to think about turning that off, too, when kids are around?
Absolutely. I do think we have to think about how much media exposure we're all seeing, whether we're talking about the politics or we're talking about the recovery from Sandy. We know that routines matter during these times. Those activities together that we know that foster families during this time and foster our kids.
Dr. Melissa Breimer, Program Director of Terrorism and Disaster Programs at the UCLA Neuropsychiatric Institute and a member of the National Child Traumatic Stress Network. Dr. Breimer, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And back to storm relief. FEMA and the Red Cross suggest spending extra time with your kids at bedtime, taking time to plan a family emergency plan, soothe their fears that way. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services says it's a good idea to point out positive things, people helping each other. Well, here we go. Today, ABC raised nearly $23 million in an on-air telethon. NBC held one on Friday. Actually, ABC raised $8 million today. NBC raised $23 million on Friday. And MTV, home of the Jersey Shore reality show, plans to air a fundraising special November 15th. It's going to feature the cast. They're going to raise money to rebuild Seaside Heights, the site, of course, of the show, but to people from New Jersey, so much more. So there's something you can share with your kids. Back in 1 minute, here and now.